Welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites. Here's your host, Dr. Bill Griffin.
My guest today on Dental Soundbites is Dr. Hammer Zaki, who serves as assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Dental Medicine. Dr. Zaki has been researching tooth regeneration for over two decades, and in the process, he's developed a uniquely informed appreciation for how teeth, like the rest of us, are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. In light of the profound design features of our teeth, Dr. Zaki has some keen insights regarding the need for ultra-conservative treatment of our patients. Dr. Zaki has been married for 22 years to Nardine, and they have two daughters. Let's enjoy our journey with Dr. Zaki as we revisit the subject of dental anatomy from a God-centered perspective. Dr. Zaki, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Dental Soundbites.
My honor and pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Griffin.
As we get started today, I should share with our members how you and I first met. You submitted an application to speak at CMDA's Great Commission Dental Conference to be held on September 12th and 13th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I Zoomed with you to learn more about your topic and was just blown away with your knowledge and enthusiasm. And though we have more applicants this year than we have speaker spots, I could tell in our first 5 minutes that you need to be a part of this year's conference. So tell us a bit more about your research at the University of Pittsburgh.
I currently do clinical studies, but I was involved for 2+ decades in benchwork in researching tooth regeneration. And that was the hope and, of course, also the hype of one day we will give our patients what we may call third-generation teeth. Instead of extracted teeth, instead of dental implants, we will give them new teeth. But in my naivete of 20 years ago, little did I know that the tooth is more complicated than I thought as a complex organ. And of course, in research in general, the more we know that we do not know. And here we go, 30 years later, I can tell that we are nowhere close, of course, arguably, but we are not close to regenerate that amazing, wondrous organ, which brings me to where I am now. And I dare say it is an enlightenment, because since what we deal with day in, day out in the clinic, mainly tooth decay, is preventable and predictable, so why don't we just pay attention and appreciate that natural tooth structure? Because there is no technology, no dental material, no research has hitherto managed to regenerate that. So now, if you will, out of failure of the research, if you will, I consider myself the research product. I am the research product who could not help but return to my students and my patients with this unwavering message. Appreciate natural tooth structure and treasure prevention, because in our dental profession, it is indeed the cure.
Well, that's fascinating. I've placed a few implants during my career, and they look really strong, but without a periodontal ligament, they're not going to function like what the Lord made.
And no, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
There's an old song from my growing up days called "Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Baby." And I don't know if they were singing about teeth, but they could have been.
Of course. Of course. I say for our body in general. Yes.
Yes.
Especially of the non-regenerating structure. It's not skin. It's not bone. Enamel, dentin, dental pulp. They do not regenerate back. And this is what we should not miss.
Mm. And yet in the process, you certainly gained appreciation for the unique aspects of what God designed in our teeth.
Of course. Yes, yes, absolutely. It's amazing. It's amazing. Unparalleled. I say it's unparalleled in function, amazing in development, and wonderful in its beauty. the tooth is for me is really beauty. I don't know that some colleagues take me on this, but I do not. I'm not tired of saying it. Yes, they are beauty. Of course, they may be behind stinky saliva and food debris. And we have 32 of them, and they're free. Why would I care about a tooth? But they are beauty. They are beauty.
What I love about what you're saying is it reminds me that there are three different kinds of learning. There's learning you do to pass a test, when we have to do some of that. There's learning that causes you to be amazed at how things fit together. But there's a third stage of learning that causes you to worship the source of how things fit together. And you've reached the third stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I'm there. I'm there. If there's something that we cannot emulate, oh, come on. Yeah. I mean, if something I can do like it or close to it, okay, let's see what I can do. I'll do my best. But if it's something I cannot emulate, well, at least in awe, preserve what you have.
Yes, great thought. And I would encourage our listeners, as I'm sure they have been amazed by various aspects of the dentition, to not hold back in interaction with patients, to help patients realize how we are indeed fearfully, wonderfully made. It's a great opportunity to boast in the Lord, as we're called to do in Scripture.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
So how did you first become interested in dentistry? And then first, what first led you into to get decades of dental research?
Oh, wow. It's complicated, but it can be a story for another day. Well, basically, my dad was a dentist. I'm from Alexandria, Egypt. My dad was a dentist. And while I was, and I'm still very much passionate about the elegance of beauty of physics, algebra, geometry, I was 17 years old that had to decide. So your dad has a clinic, be a dentist. I didn't mind it, but I didn't have a saying in it. I cannot say I was passionate about dentistry. No, I wasn't. I'm still passionate about physics and geometry, and they are still my to-go pastime. And I enjoy them, and I love that philosophy of Aristotle. I enjoy them because they are useless to me. I do not use them to study, to get promoted, to earn public approval or generate publication. I do it because I simply enjoy it. And that is the power of joy of the useless. I just discovered this philosophy recently, and I cannot get it out of the mind. Yes, the more useless, the more enjoyable you do. You don't use something to get money or to get approval, because if this didn't happen, you would get frustrated. But if you enjoy just a comic, chat with a friend, watching a game, why do you watch a game? Well, I just enjoy it. And that's the power of the useless. So, of course, my profession as dentist, as educator, as researcher, this is not useful. I mean, this is not useless. This is useful. Mm-hmm. I use it for profession. Throughout that career, I came in unquenchable passion about two independent issues. The first one is passion to reconcile faith and science. And the second one later on, the faith and science thing was early in my PhD around 2006 that I developed that passion. But the other passion is the appreciation of the natural tooth structure and treasuring prevention. And this came down the road, as I just mentioned, discovered that we are failing in regenerating that marvelous organ. So let's now honor what we have. So these two passions, I cannot get tired enough. I cannot get tired of talking about them. So I don't know. I believe we'll talk about both today.
Yes. Well, I was just going to say, let's consider the second first, if we could. In our first conversation on Zoom, you mentioned the phrase biomimetic dentistry. And immediately you made me think of my friend, Dr. Pascal Monnier, who was also a guest on Dental Soundbites a few years back. And for those not familiar with this approach to patient care, share with our listeners how you would define biomimetic dentistry and how this approach affects the way we care for our patients.
Well, I listened to the podcast with Dr. Manny. I love Dr. Manny. Enthusiasm, approach, philosophy, his knowledge, and to hear about what he and his brother are doing, his skill, and needless to say, as a Christian professional, I mean, truly inspiring. But I come, Dr. Griffin, I come from another world, the world of tooth regeneration, and this is my background. So what I would call anything that we do in the clinic or lab or biomaterial, I would call it quasi-biomimetic. Well, I have a Bible verse for biomimetics. Believe it or not, the Bible teaches us about biomimetics, and it is an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. It's not a dental implant for a tooth. It's a tooth for a tooth. It's enamel for enamel. It's not ceramic for enamel. It's dentin for dentin. It's not composite for dentin. This is the biomimetic. This is what I want to give my patients, something that is quality and function that mimics their lost biological structure. This is biomimetic for me. And please bear with me with this example. If our dental clinic that is primarily dealing with the consequences of tooth decay, well, statistically, 70 to 80% of dentists deal with what the decay, cavities, root canals, prosthetics to replace teeth. So if all this is regarded as the endocrinology, the endocrinology clinic that primarily deals with diabetes, then all our restorative endodontic and prosthetic work will fall in the realm of prosthetic limb rehabilitation after its amputation. We can get hyped about what we're giving to the patient. You know, sir, you won't believe what we're getting you, how beautiful, how functional, how technological, how biomimetic, and how quick we can restore you with that artificial limb. How exciting is that? So we get rightfully excited, and rightfully so, about our dexterity and mastering ceramic artistry. Now coupled with the CAD-CAM, 3D printing, and intraocular scanner, and how in one appointment, instead of three, in 20 minutes, instead of 2 hours, our edge technology can produce that ceramic crown to biomimic the lost part of the tooth. Well, there is actually nothing to this day that can really emulate the lost natural tooth structure. Mm. All that process, that excitement, that dazzling glare of lucrative technology that we are reaching blinds our eyes from the right thing to do in our profession. And this is called, in prevention world, it's called tunneling. We are tunneling forward, forward, forward to the light, because we see the light at the end of the tunnel. At the end of the tunnel, but are we cruising in the right direction? Mm. Are we even cruising in the right direction? In my mind, what is the right direction for dentistry? Well, in our profession, since what we deal with day in, day out is preventable and predictable, then in dentistry, prevention is indeed the cure. And I'm not, please don't understand me wrong, I'm not trashing the technology or just talking low about it. Absolutely not. I'm just wishing that if we put just as equal enthusiasm, resources, and time toward prevention, our dental world will be much different. Our patient's dentition would have been much healthier. But of course, the clear problem here is that our pockets as dentists will be less brimming. And that is the primary challenge behind prevention. It is convoluted, and it is a story for another day. But I love Hippocrates here. He pithily describes what we need to go in dentistry. Prevention, he said in 400 BC, the best medicine of all is to teach your patients how not to need it. And for me, the future of dentistry, it is advancing dentistry to Hippocrates 400 BC. That's the future of dentistry for me. Tooth for a tooth. You keep your tooth. I will make you keep your tooth. And if not, then I will give you another similar one. That's biomimetic. And if I cannot, which I don't have to this day, then I should strive all my effort enthusiasm and money and all my service and profession into making patients preserve their natural teeth.
What you're saying is just beautiful. So often when it comes to technology, the question is, can we? And we leave behind the question of, should we? And although dentistry Absolutely. Has always been known as a prevention-oriented profession.
It should be, yes.
Yet
yes.
A lot of what we do ignores that central principle. So I love what you're saying and its application. And I remember Dr. Manier talked about how when you do have to restore a tooth, you restore it with materials that are as much like what you're restoring.
Right.
For example, perhaps one material for the dentin and perhaps something else for where the enamel would be.
Of course, of course. As much as we can for the technology of what we have today, because tomorrow it will be better. And one day, I really do believe one day we will get to that truly biomimetic. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So when we reach there, it will be another talk. But as for now, the patients, you as a person, as a dentist who avowedly went into that profession to serve your patients, the best thing to treat them with is to let them keep their natural teeth.
And I love referring to extractions as amputations. If we did that, perhaps dentists and patients would work harder to save natural teeth.
And root canals also are amputations. You dishard the tooth. You take the heart of the tooth. It's not only extraction. Anything natural to be substituted by an artificial is amputation in what we do day in, day out.
I would imagine that you come in contact with some other dentists across the country who are also involved in dental research. What are some of the hot topics? How might current research affect the way we could be treating our patients in future years?
Well, yes. I come mainly from the research perspective. Mm-hmm. And when we sit together, hey, what do you know? What's going on in the dental field? Anything new? Well, I'm not about tooth regeneration research. I can speak for hours, honestly. But I'm not excited because what I can tell you now that we have enamel like dentin, like pulp, like, and rightfully so. I've been involved in dental pulp regeneration research for a long time. And all what we get is what we call pulp like tissue. Why pulp like? Because nobody ever succeeded into getting those odontoblasts, if they are really odontoblasts, back their processes into the dentinal tubules through the dentin to the DEJ. We have maybe regenerating cells that look like odontoblast and their palisade organization on the dentin wall, but do they project their process into the dentin? No. How could you ask these cells to get into these tubules again? We're trying to, but we didn't manage to. I mean, that's why we don't have a dental pulp. We have a pulp-like tissue. And same thing with the dentin tubule structure. The conversations go, how is enamel? Did you manage to chemically synthesize enamel? Yes, some researchers did, but never to the intricacy of the hydroxyapatite structure of enamel, the hardest structure in our body. And I mean, don't get me started on that enamel, Dr. Griffin, because I lose it. Well, it's for me, it's just like the tears of the crocodiles. The scream of that dental drill propelled by air and our cold blood to announce a dead pan pulverization of our priceless enamel and our body hard structure. It is really sad and disheartening. But do we dentists know how precious enamel is? Do we inform our patients that veneers are not dying hair or painting nails? The veneers entail shaving off a thinning and priceless, irreproducible natural layer of enamel, the hardest structure of our body, and for a good reason. Or are we dentists robbing our patients off guard from this tissue that they're we do it greedily without knowing or ignorantly if we don't know. Well, sorry, doctor, I diverted from the original question. So let me get you to two things that are exciting in dental tooth regeneration research. Mm-hmm. The first thing is not really new. It's in 2009. There was a study in the rat that showed a premolar-like tooth developing in the place of a molar. So they managed to develop to biomimetic a tooth, but it was a premolar while they expected a molar. So which now underlines again the adage that I just said, the more we know, the more we know we don't know. So in that case, what are the genetic or transcriptomic signals that cue the molars versus premolars versus incisors? Mm-hmm. Maxillary versus mandibular. Five cuspid molar versus four cuspid molars. Are these signals location dependent? Are they age dependent? Are they prenatal versus postnatal? Child versus adult? All these questions will be answered one day to get those regenerated teeth, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. The second thing that actually is exciting in the dental corridors now, but we're not sure where that will be going, but I can say that there is a drug now being developed in Kyoto University, and it is touted to inhibit a protein that involved in the suppression of the tooth developing, causing endodontia. So if you have endodontia, you're born without teeth or without one tooth, there is a gene involved in there. So they are touting a protein that will inhibit that gene, which means it can regrow that missing tooth. And that gene is called usage one. But regardless, so now I hear there are clinical trials about that. So it is not a treatment to regrow teeth or missing teeth or extracted teeth. But if you have an endodontia in a certain segment, mm-hmm. or even in all the teeth, they will be able to regrow, to come back, to give cue to these teeth to come back. It's very exciting if that is true. Animal studies show it is true, but now clinical trials, and we, I think in the next some years, we will see how that is unfolding. And that is really exciting.
That is fantastic. And as I recall, two of the most common missing teeth are upper lateral incisors and wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
Let's allow the wisdom teeth not to develop, but it'd be nice to have some lateral incisors.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that is for that. Yes, endodontia, missing, congenitally missing teeth. Yes.
Well, this has been a delight, and I hope we get to continue at some point soon. And 100 years from now, we'll be able to better answer some of these questions.
Of course, we will be able to follow it from above. Yeah.
Know fully, even as we've been fully known.
Yes. Yes. It's a pleasure and delight of mine, Dr. Griffin. Thank you so, so much.
Well,
I really look forward to meeting you in person, maybe in Dallas. Yes.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks again. Yeah, God
lovely.
Bless.
God bless. Thank you so much.
What a fascinating time we had with Dr. Samer Zaki today. It was tremendous to hear his enthusiasm and his zeal for recognizing God's hand in the teeth that we work on every day. And what a great opportunity we have to share this knowledge of God's glory seen through dentistry with our patients. As I mentioned during the podcast, Dr. Zaki will be one of our speakers at the Great Commission Dental Conference, to be held September 12th and 13th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you'd like more information on the conference, including registration information, you can go to cmda.org/GCDC. We hope to see many of you at the conference, and I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing Dr. Zaki and other speakers that are headed to Dallas. I leave you today with Psalm 19, verse 1, which you've heard many times. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. As we see patients each day, or however we're involved in dentistry, may we be quick to boast in the Lord and share with our patients what an amazing job He did as He created the human body, including that portion of the body that we work with each day. Until next time, God bless.
Thanks for listening to Dental Soundbites. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email dental@cmda.org. And if you'd like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.